This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Leila. It's part two, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions can come to us via radio program at AOL.com. And Leila, what's next?
We've got an email from Diane. I'm a 68-year-old female taking 5 milligrams ramipril daily.
Blood pressure.
Yeah, after mitral valve repair in the year 2014.
Right.
At that time, I was told to avoid vitamin K. After reading your article on Coumadin, I now question that advice.
Yeah, okay, so she's referring to the article. And in that article, I pointed out that Coumadin is how it works, is it thins the blood, because it's a vitamin K antagonist.
Yeah.
Vitamin K actually helps the blood to clot.
Yes.
So it is thought when you take Coumadin that you shouldn't take vitamin K because you're, you know, antagonizing the Coumadin. You're making the Coumadin less efficacious. And if you make the Coumadin less efficacious, your blood will revert to normal consistency. It won't be thinned anymore and you might be at risk for a blood clot. Well, here's the thing. Vitamin K inhibits the action of Coumadin. Coumadin inhibits the action of vitamin K. Vitamin K is very important for bones and for atherosclerosis.
Yes.
So it actually turns out, this is crazy. We have...
It's not all about blood coagulation. There's a lot more to vitamin K.
Yes. We have perhaps tens of millions of people on Coumadin. It's a very popular medication. Usually they're older. Why are they on Coumadin? They have heart problems, many of them. They have atrial fibrillation. In some cases, they have valvular disease. And so they're the very people who may need to get some vitamin K. But they're told, they're admonished, don't even have a, you know, kale. Don't even have...
don't have even a little bit of spinach.
Don't have green tea. You know, it's got vitamin K.
Broccoli.
You know the tear sheets that you got when you were in RD school?
In RD school, even as a hospital dietitian, telling people. But here's the thing, and I blame a lot of health professionals who actually should know better. It's taking a consistent amount of vitamin K containing vegetables. For instance, your kale, your spinach, your collards, your broccoli.
By the way, is that trickling into the official position that you get in your journals when you're keeping up on your registered dietitian literature? Is that starting to become a more prevalent viewpoint, or are they still like lockstep in opposition to any kind of vitamin K containing foods?
No, they've not gotten so far into vitamin K yet. They're getting more into supplements in general, which is a very good thing on the natural medicines database. However, it's about taking a consistent amount.
Right.
Those particular vitamin K vitamin K containing vegetables.
Don't have a kale smoothie, you know, on Tuesday and then nothing.
No.
Right.
You want to keep those servings to 3 servings or less a day, but you could eat all the other vegetables.
Right. Okay, now to the question, can you take MK7 if you were on Coumadin? And the answer is, in my opinion, yes.
Terrific.
But only under the careful supervision of a doctor. Because what'll happen is you have to start with a low dose, and usually every month or so you get checked for your INR, which is your bleeding time, not your bleed, it's your proton.
Yeah.
Which should be anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 times normal. And that means that your blood is thinned like roughly twofold.
Yeah.
So let's say you take a little bit of vitamin K2, and then subsequently your INR goes from 1.9 to 1.2. Whoa, that's a pretty significant jump.
Yeah.
And that means if you want to keep taking that vitamin K, you need to up your dose of Coumadin slightly to accommodate the vitamin K.
Yes.
I would say, and that's why it should be done by a doctor who can prescribe.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just about
the supplement, it's about prescribing the medication and adjusting the medication.
Yeah.
So I'd be willing to do that with patients. I don't know if many doctors would get on board with that. They might freak out and say, oh my goodness, you're wiping out your Coumadin. It's easily remedied because you could take a little more Coumadin.
Okay.
All right. And that's also, again, you got to be consistent because say on the basis of the MK7 you're taking, you up your Coumadin. And then all of a sudden you say, well, you know, I forgot to order it. So, but then your blood will be over-thinned. Because you're not.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to, again, consistency.
Right.
If you're going to take the vitamin
consistency
K, you want to take it.
Consistency with supplements, consistency with diet. And by the way, those foods are marvelous anti-cancer foods.
Yeah.
They, you know, the cabbage family vegetables, the brassicas.
Yes.
You know, why would you tell an older person,
Don't eat that
because those are people who are at high risk of cancer, and we know that these sulforaphane, for example, also helps the brain.
Yeah.
You know, so many beneficial properties. Green tea has so many anti-cancer properties. You tell people, oh, absolutely don't touch green tea or EGCG.
It's one of the most chemoprotective agents on the planet.
Chemoprevention,
As
opposed to chemotherapy.
Yeah.
So that is all outlined, by the way, in an article that I wrote, I don't know, it must have been this winter, about Coumadin.
Yeah.
I know exactly when it was, because it was right in February, right after we attended
the IHS
conference.
The Integrative Healthcare.
By the way, I want to let you know. You want to hear some good news?
Yeah.
I'm presenting, I don't know if you're presenting, but we're presenting the sex book, at the Integrative Sexual Health book. At the next IHS conference.
Oh, terrific!
That's Barbara Bartlett, Gio Espinosa, Janet Mendez, and I are on a panel to
promote
the book. And you, I know you co-wrote a chapter, but I just think they wanted to not have so many people on the dais.
Oh, sure, but I will be there to see it. That's wonderful.
Cheer me on, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we need a, you know, what they, like, throw me a question, like a shield in the audience.
Okay.
You know, you know how that works.
Uh-huh. I'll be your foil.
Though. Right.
Okay. Diane, thank you very much for that very thoughtful question. Oh, we've got another Coumadin-related question from Judy. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm currently on warfarin, which is Coumadin, and I'm wondering if I could still take curcumin, or would it interfere with it?
Well, does curcumin contain vitamin K?
No. It has, if you take very large doses of it, can have a little bit of a blood thinning effect.
Yeah, I was thinking of the opposite. I was thinking because it has vitamin K in it, it might have a blood thickening effect.
Ah.
But, okay, so what I will tell you is that I keep looking this up, and when people are on blood thinners, they now tell them to go off, not to take curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've really sourced it and actually looked at the evidence for it, and the evidence is kind of sketchy for curcumin being a profound blood thinner.
Okay. Yeah, so not profound. It would have to be,
And again, I think you can check your INR and see if it has an additive effect.
That would be the best way to test it, Judy, is check the INR while you're taking it. Okay. Thank you for that question.
Good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors a moment to share a vital message with you, so please listen up.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information, and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you on a continuing basis. So now back to our questions with Layla.
Okay, we've got an email from Jennifer. I'm a 44-year-old female. I'm 5'4", 110, slight hypothyroid history, had half of my thyroid removed, and I recently started taking Armour Thyroid. My question is about lipoprotein little a. and specifically how it relates to one's risk for a cardiac event, and what, if anything, can be done to reduce one's levels. What are your thoughts on the seemingly only controlled by genetics lipoprotein little A? Is there a safe, effective way that you've seen to reduce
There are many modifiable risk factors for cardiovascular disease. You can lower your cholesterol. You can reduce your weight. You can stop smoking. You can lower your homocysteine with vitamins.
Yeah.
Homocysteine is 15. You can take B12 and B6 and folate and maybe some TMG.
Lower your blood sugar.
And you can also lower your blood sugar, you know, hemoglobin A1C that's, 6.5. You can fix that with diet and exercise. But LP little a is a relatively fixed factor.
Yeah.
It's a something that goes into the equation. So when somebody has a very high LP little a, we might have to be even more zealous about the things, what's the Lord's Prayer, God help me to change the things I can and, accept the things I can't or something to that
the
effect.
Serenity Prayer?
The Serenity Prayer, it's along those lines.
Yeah.
So LP little a is accept the things that I can't. However, there are some studies that suggest that hormone replacement therapy in women and possibly testosterone in therapy replacement in men can lower LP little a.
Oh, wow.
It might have, but not dramatically. It might lower it 30% or 50%, up to that much.
The only studies I've seen that might nudge it a little bit, vitamin C and carnitine.
Well, there's also, I think I've heard that, but also there was this thing by Matthias Rath. Matthias Rath, who is a colleague of Linus Pauling. But I have to say, I have some concerns about the veracity of his claims.
Okay.
I think his claims are a little over the top. He had this theory that vitamin C worked to protect the heart by lowering LP little a along with proline because it had LP little a.
Proline, hydroxyproline, vitamin A is dependent, vitamin C.
Yeah.
It has, transformation
it has something to do with the
on
collagen in the arteries, and somehow this was...
Proline goes to hydroxyproline, and
that's
vitamin C.
This
dependent.
Is the Rath protocol for LP little a. However, I really did not see it pan out. It was, been around for like 15 years, and I don't think there's been any progress on demonstrating that it's the real deal. The other thing that casts some doubt on it is, and I mean, I hate to make it seem like an ad hominem attack, but, I think a person is only as good as their reputation. And Matthias Rath got caught up in a kind of a scandal in Africa where he was promoting an AIDS cure with vitamins.
Oh, my.
And he convinced the heads of state of some of these very backward countries that they didn't really need to take AIDS medications, that instead they should take certain vitamins, some of which he provided them, as a way of combating HIV. And he's been ostracized by the entire scientific community because it turns out that the medications were the real deal and were helpful and are stemming the tide of HIV. And supplements, may be important, but they're not a cure for HIV.
Hmm. Wow. So, what I would recommend to Jennifer is to maybe incorporate some L-carnitine and C or something.
Yeah.
I think also stearic acid, which is a saturated fat found in meat, found in chocolate. That might have some...
I have no problem suggesting that she have some chocolate.
There isn't a whole lot of research about this, unfortunately, because it is such a risk factor, or it can be.
Well, on the order of among risk factors, I would say that it's sort of a medium risk factor.
Okay.
It's not as high a risk factor as, for example, C-reactive protein, which you can bring down. If you have like 10 different risk factors and you fix 8 of them, you're going to do better than a lot of people. Even if you can't fix that, and that's part of your inheritance.
Jennifer she's on a great diet.
To really assess the effects of the LP little a, I would recommend an EBT heart scan to see if it really is consequential, if it's making a difference.
That would be it.
And I have seen some patients who I'm kind of surprised. Their cholesterol's not that bad. Or the cholesterol is the same as people who have zero plaque, and the LP little A is high, and they do have plaque.
And they do have plaque.
We say, oh, it must be the LP little A that's causing your plaque, because your cholesterol is not that bad.
Wow. Nope. Okay. Jennifer, continue on your good diet. Best of luck to you.
And just one other thought. I suspect that there are maybe, you know, another 5 or 10 LP little A's out there that we don't even know about.
So this is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, they may be, I mean, not LPA per se, but things like LPA,
okay,
like risk factors that are as yet undiscovered that explain why it is that some people with super high cholesterol seem to be protected and others with fairly low cholesterol are not protected. You know, that there may be other risk factors that we haven't yet discovered.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a question from Deanne, who is a huge fan of bioidentical HRT, BHRT.
Right.
Dr. Hoffman, what say you? My doc says it even saves marriages. What do you think of bioidentical hormones?
That it saves marriages?
Yes.
Well, I can think of a couple of ways in which it saves marriages. Can you? I mean, one is like, it could be that, grumpy old men who take testosterone are less grumpy and maybe sexier.
Uh-huh.
Women who take estrogen might be less depressed.
Mm.
Their mood might be enhanced. And also, their vaginal dryness may be alleviated by that.
Yes.
And that certainly, painful sex is a barrier to a relationship.
Mm.
So I guess that's what she means.
Yes. And actually, Deanne is benefiting.
And sleep problems, too.
Yes.
You know, like if you have a partner who doesn't sleep well, it can be really...
Yeah.
You know,
nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy.
You can't be happy when you're not sleeping.
Neither the insomniac nor the,
yeah,
the one who, you know, gets woken up like, I can't sleep.
Right. The very, very light sleeper.
Yep.
Deanne has found great benefit from progesterone. She sleeps like a baby now.
Yeah, it's great.
Keeps any estrogen dominance at bay. It calms her down.
It is calming.
She's not having anxiety anymore.
It's very calmative, yeah.
Or any of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, is there a question?
No, what you think about bioidentical?
I agree.
Well, terrific.
Easy question. Okay. She's extolling the benefits of by the way, it's very individual. It doesn't work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And some women do fine in menopause without it. And some women, so I'm not on board with menopause is a mistake of nature. And we've got to correct it.
Right.
You know, with
your body is attacking you. Menopause is a disease.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
give me a
that's
break.
Actually very allopathic in a way. It's a way to like sell medication.
Let's create a drug.
Let's create a new disease category. It's like menopause.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a natural process. And for some women, we can alleviate the discomfort and problems with medication.
Yeah.
But is it the Ponce de Leon fountain of youth for everyone? Not necessarily.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you, Deanne. We're glad you're feeling so great on BHRT. That's terrific. Okay, we've got a question from Gabby. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm trying to find help for my 82-year-old friend who 2 years ago presented with an itchy scalp, and her dermatologist diagnosed it as a psoriasis-like condition and prescribed
steroids.
Yeah. Well, which offered insignificant relief.
How did I guess?
How did you guess? You're a doctor.
Right.
You're a doctor.
I could be a dermatologist.
So, 3 weeks ago, she discussed her problem with her hairdresser, who told her she learned of a product in beauty school. She purchased this product that was also recommended with a heat cap. She sent us the ingredients of all of this. It's basically a cholesterol treatment. You probably wouldn't know about cholesterol treatments. Me and my teenage girlfriends at the time, for our frizzy hair in humid weather, would take out the jar of mayonnaise and give each other a cholesterol treatment.
Oh, okay.
So put on the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Put it under a cap. Let it all get kind of warm as your head would under a cap.
Don't let any males see you.
No. We did this in the confines of our home together as girls.
Okay.
And that's what we did.
And it worked?
It worked for a little while. You had nice lustrous hair for a while.
Right.
But she's talking about this, that our hairdresser said this may help with this psoriasis-like condition.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it. And the steroid cream has offered little relief.
Right.
So, Gabby, what we would recommend to your 82-year-old friend is cleaning up the diet. We know that psoriasis, if this is indeed psoriasis, mm-hmm. is greatly helped with the elimination of gluten
right.
and dairy,
right?
Primarily the protein casein, which mm-hmm. is found in all dairy, all mm-hmm. animal milk. Mm-hmm. We have patients who have psoriasis. Mm-hmm. They eliminate gluten. The psoriasis gets better, but it doesn't completely take it away. It doesn't mm-hmm. completely mm-hmm. go into remission until they decide they're going to give up mm-hmm. their feta cheese or their mm-hmm. manchego or that bit of Parmesan they right. put on their noodles or whatever they're having. So they're gluten-free noodles. So
also,
that would be
a
better
idea.
Also,
we tend to think of getting a lube job, not from externally because the skin is dry, so the temptation is to put mayonnaise on your hair.
Yeah.
How about taking in essential fatty acids?
Absolutely.
Lots and lots of omega-3
yeah.
fatty acids.
Yeah. But not Vasipa.
Not Vasipa.
No, because there's no DHA.
We're going to get a letter from the company.
Yes. I can't help it.
We're going to get a cease and desist from the company. You know, look, they publish their prices there. What can I tell you?
Right.
Oh,
my
okay.
gosh.
So, all right. So, vitamin D also helpful.
Yes, vitamin D.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Certainly using, and of course, your friend probably knows this, to use sensitive skin type of shampoo or not use mm-hmm. anything that would be, that would cause or exacerbate the condition. But yeah, get rid of the gluten, get rid of the dairy, get rid of the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Clean up the gut. This is all about cleaning up your gut. There's probably a leaky gut in the setting of psoriasis.
Right.
So borage oil is great for skin as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. And
so borage.
More for eczema, but this is a condition that's sort of not mm-hmm. even definitively
psoriasis.
And yeah. sometimes it's really classic psoriasis. Yeah. Sometimes it's classic psoriasis. It's not a bad idea to throw in some borage oil. Hey, you know something? I hear all these advertisements on radio sometimes for, you know, if you got like a dog who's got the mange, you know, mm-hmm. give them like doggy yeah. bites. Mm-hmm. And what are those doggy bites? They're like lecithin with omega-3 fatty acids. And, you know, like there's some kind of product that has basically omega-3. And then the dogs with the mange, you know, mange is basically dandruffy, flaky skin.
Yeah.
They get better.
Wow.
You know, and because they eat table scraps and they get the same conditions that humans get.
Right.
You know, they need the omega-3s.
Yeah. Other things, always for skin conditions, I would always add some beneficial zinc and vitamin C.
Okay.
I think that's always very
vitamin
helpful,
A
too.
Also in
vitamin
A, can
yeah.
be helpful.
Yeah.
So much for that. So great. We are out of time.
Mm.
So we want to thank you for listening. Continue to support our sponsors. Find Supplements of Excellence at FullScript. Really getting a great response to some of the protocols I put up there. Lots of people getting supplements for our Heart Healthy Protocol and our Starter Pack and our
terrific
Bone Health Protocol and the Brain Health Protocol, I think, mm-hmm. is launched now. Mm-hmm. So we're going to roll those out, and hopefully you can access high-quality supplements there at reasonable prices, and also help to support our efforts to get the word out via Intelligent Medicine. Thanks, Layla, for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.